news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us. And on Tuesdays, we do take a look at that area of life that seems to impact all of us, but we hate it and love it simultaneously. It's the biggest love-hate affair humanity has ever had with anything called technology, and Ari Zoldan is here to help break it down for us every single week. And Ari, there's some interesting stuff happening. I was really taken by this article from the 9to5 Mac website that is announcing that Apple may, for the first time, allow people to subsidize an Apple Watch through private Medicare plans. Now, explain how this would work. It's very fascinating to me.
It really is, and I think this is really game changing in the med. You know, we talked about the medical tech space, which is really incredible, and we're going to start seeing a major paradigm shift in the medical community, technology community, really working together. This is about Medicare going ahead and working with companies like Apple, where they're really focused on preventative medicine. And what better way than, let's say, working with a Fitbit or an Apple product where it monitors your health rate and it sends the data back to their doctor. So this is really, we're using technology now towards some sort of preventative ecosystem. And it's kind of like a win-win for everyone.
Right.
Apple gets to sell more products. The insurance company get to really limit their exposure as well for getting people into the hospital. So I see this as a win-win and absolutely brilliant.
Well, it's interesting. So the lovely bride and I are really hitting the gym much more aggressively than we have in years past. And she is taking a lot of kind of mixed classes where there's aerobic and then yoga and then stretching, and she's doing other things. But in the description that the gym provides for each of them, you know, for heart rate and all that stuff, they're saying check your devices. So this is becoming just the standard way people are measuring their own health and their own checkup on a regular basis. It sure makes sense. I mean, what's that commercial out right now? You see it all through the NFL games, but they're like, this watch will perform an EKG, an echocardiogram, right on your wrist. I mean, these types of things have to be making a difference.
Yeah, and this is all about preventative healthcare, measures for us to be able to take care of our own health. So
yeah.
What better than buying a $200 watch, strapping it on ourselves, and then working with insurance companies to say, hey, I'm actually taking care of myself. How do I, let's say, lower my premiums because of it? So I really see this as a win-win for everyone, and I think we're going to see a lot more of these formulas in the next few years.
I think it's just the beginning of the snowball that's going to change healthcare in a big, big way. The more we move to prevention as opposed to correction in terms of health, it is only going to stand to make economic means much more sense for the average taxpayer. Hey, what about this? So I'm hearing about this social app called TikTok. I guess it's a game, but some people are getting famous off of it. And I saw this story about this girl named Haley. What's happening here?
Sure. So TikTok is completely dominating the social atmosphere right now. It's crushing Facebook. It's crushing YouTube. It's crushing Twitter. And basically, it's a 15-second video sharing app where the demographic primarily is under 26 years old. There's about a billion users right now on the platform. Originated from China, they're exporting the technology here, which is a whole other conversation. But it's these sub 26 year olds that are putting on cute videos layered on music and a lot of really cool video editing that you could do. So it's a fun app right now, and I think eventually brands are going to start playing in the space. But this gives the ability again to create these micro influencers. So you start building a following. You do some cute things on the social app. People start following you, and you start building your brand equity. The same thing with YouTube stars now, which is just happening on this platform called TikTok. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
And why is it primarily being more embraced by under 26-year-olds, as, say, opposed to a YouTube or a Snapchat?
This is, I mean, today we're consuming data, you know, it's got to be very short, it's got to be fun, it's got to be funky, it's got to be quick, it's got to be shareable. And they came in just at the right time to be able to take that market.
But wasn't that Snapchat's original, I mean, that's what Snapchat did. And they made it not only short, but then the ability to disappear so you didn't have to keep it, or supposedly they argued. But so what's the new wrinkle with TikTok?
Sure. Their filters are really, really innovative. So different than Snapchat. Yeah, there's a lot of, I would say, a lot of bells and whistles there that make it very, very sticky. And I was surprised. I really thought Snapchat would really dominate the space, and I'm hearing less and less about it. And a lot of it has to do with trends as well. So yeah. Right now, this is the latest and greatest. And a billion people on this platform is mind-blowing, and the valuations they're saying is almost close to like $75 billion.
How does that compare to, say, the entire Facebook universe, which would include Instagram?
It's they're going head to head, and it's going to be a matter of time. And my prediction, our prediction here, we always talk about it. It's probably a Facebook and Instagram is going to, if not acquire it, probably take a serious equity position in it. Just a matter of time, Kevin.
Yeah, that's what Zuckerberg does, or as Mike Lindell calls him, suck a buck. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this game Fortnite. There's some new class action lawsuit that's making a claim against Fortnite, saying it's as addictive and as destructive to kids as cocaine.
Yeah, you know, I read the news, and I was kind of split about it. I was like, yeah, it is very, you know, I've seen it. It is very, very addictive, you know. But like, where do gamers or where does industry draw the line? You know, and we're in free markets. Anybody create games, they could create, you know, different engaging websites and different platforms. To go ahead, I think it's going to get thrown out of court anyway. But, you know, talk about responsibility. You know, why point the fingers at the game maker versus maybe pointing the finger at the parents or having the child take some responsibility for themselves?
Yeah.
So I see this as a blame game, and I think it's going to get thrown out.
I've never understood the argument that the game maker has more responsibility than the adult parent. I can't get past that. That's a stumbling block for me. Hey, Ari Zoldan, always appreciate the insight, and have an easy fast as you enter Yom Kippur.
You know it. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Now, see, I got to admit, Carol Markowitz helped me understand that off the air just a second ago, earlier in the hour. So now I'm dropping it like an A-bomb, you know, like, okay, easy fast there, my friend.
I love it. And here's one for you.
Okay.
I mean, Carol mentioned the easy fast. How about this one? Say, L'shana tova.
Say it again. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova, there you go. It means happy and a healthy new year for us, and we'll see you on the other side.
Very good, my friend. Ari Zoldan, talk to you soon.